Happy New Year, church. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this church body, and I pray that through your word today that they would be blessed. Lord, I pray you give us listening ears and hearts to hear what your spirit would say to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Happy New Year. Do you feel rested or tired? A little bit of both, right? I know this last week or so, I was starting to make my New Year's resolutions. And I got tired. And I didn't even do any of them. I wrote them out. And I looked at that list, and I thought, maybe I don't need to do all of this in a year. Or at least not today. I was talking to someone else about that this morning. I can get tired. Even the word resolution, some people, they just don't like that word. It just carries a context of what I'm going to try in January and then stop doing in February. Yeah. But, you know, as I think about where we ended in Exodus with the people of God reaching Sinai, Moses climbing the top of this mountain. I think it's kind of resolution time for them. You know, Moses climbs up this mountain and he stays there for 40 days. They worship the Lord. Our series was Moses and the Journey of Faith. And we watched the people of Israel come to faith. They were in slavery, they were in bondage. And they were delivered, they were brought through the Red Sea, and they were brought to the Mount of Sinai. They came to faith. They came to worship the Lord. But that's not the only thing that happens at Mount Sinai. It's faith and worship. As we were starting to hint at, this idea of worship is beyond singing songs. It's going to be a way of life for these people. And at Mount Sinai, that becomes really clear what their resolutions should be. And I'm going to run with this word commitments. Commitments. To ask yourself this year, what am I committed to? It doesn't necessarily have to be a new thing, right? It doesn't have to be a resolution of something brand new, as if let's add something else to my plate. But to really think through, what are my commitments? What do I need to trim down? What are my priorities? And we're going to get that clear this morning as we sit on Mount Sinai. There's a lot to learn here. And I don't want us to rush this. In my own walk with the Lord, I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm willing to sit on Mount Sinai in this sermon series as long as it takes. Because I want to hear from God about what my commitments should be. We're going to see next week the people of Israel rush off. They don't wait for Moses for 40 days on Mount Sinai to hear from the Lord of what they should be committed to, because that wasn't productive enough for them. Instead, they became an idol factory. They had to rush off and do what didn't need to be done. Lord forbid it if our church does that. Lord forbid it if I do that this year, to rush off before hearing from the Lord. And so it starts by just sitting on Sinai. And so if we go to the first scripture here, this is going to act as kind of a stake in the ground to re-enter us into Exodus. This is the only verse from chapter 24 we're going to look at today. And I'm going to explain this out to help get us a foundation again for sitting on Mount Sinai. So Exodus 24, verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I have inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people.'" So Moses had met with God. He went up the mountain, and God says, the next step of this journey is I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you how to live this thing out, so that you can teach the people how to live this out. Right now, they don't know. Remember back in Exodus, one Hebrew was beating another? Moses said, "What are you doing?" He basically said, "I have no clue." He says, "Who are you to teach us? Who are you to tell us? We haven't had this revelation yet." And so God says, "I'm going to make you my people so that you know what to be committed to." And that's not a curse. That's not a heavy burden for these people. It's a blessing. The law of the Lord is good for these people. I mean, think about the commands that Pharaoh gave them. Commands of throw your babies in the river. Commands of make more bricks. That was a heavy yoke. That was a heavy yoke. Those were commitments that brought death. Our slavery to sin is no freedom, my friends. But when we are slaves to righteousness, there is peace for the people of God. There's shalom. Amen? Amen. So, we made it through chapter 20 in 2022 of Exodus, and there's 40 chapters in Exodus. So we got halfway there. And if you look in the second half, there are a lot of commandments. The law of Moses, there's a lot there. It was a mind bender for me to think this through, because the narrative starts getting a little trickier to preach through each week. And so I look to the New Testament here and to Matthew to get some insight. What does this all boil down to be that we should be committed to? And so Jesus, who is a Jewish scribe, studied the law. A man came to him and said, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" So in Jesus' day, there was folks wondering about this very thing. What is the most important commandment? And Jesus boils it down to these two things. Jesus replied, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself." The law on Mount Sinai was not to gain approval from God so that they can be saved. At Mount Sinai, they have been loved beyond measure to be brought in as the people of God. And now they're invited to take that love they received and let it overflow out of their lives. To love God, it's that vertical connection, and to love others, that horizontal. In one way, those are different. In one way, those are the same, aren't they? How can you hate your brother and love God, right? Or how could you love your brother with true love and not know God? They're very connected. The next verse here we'll look at in Matthew. After he says this, he says, "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." And so we see this present in these commandments. In Exodus 21, which we skipped over, following for the three chapters, it gives an assortment of commandments. It's a new nation. And so they had needs to know how to live out as a nation. And so, for example, the first verse of Exodus 21 says, "No Hebrew is allowed to be a slave longer than 6 years." What's the heart of that? What's the heart of that? Love God, love people. God's saying that that's not right. We see other rules about no one can take more debt than 49 years. 50th year, which is the Jubilee, which our church is celebrating, the Jubilee this year, our 50th anniversary. All debts repaid. There's this idea of living in shalom, of peace, of loving your neighbor. We'll go to the next verse here. So what are these commandments? They're boiled down most succinctly in the Ten Commandments. And even the Ten Commandments are split up into two categories. There's loving God and love others. Loving God here, back in Exodus 20, it lists off the Ten Commandments right off the bat to get them on our radar. I think so that we can see how Israel immediately starts breaking these. But in the first one, it says, you must have no other God but me. And the second one is, you must not make for yourself an idol, which they'll do next week. The third one, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Fourth one, remember to observe the Sabbath. And then loving people, what does that look like? The Ten Commandments includes those in the second half. It says, honor your father and mother. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor, and you must not covet. There's a lot said there. There's also a lot not said there. Which makes us wonder, what's the intent of these laws? That's why people ask Jesus these questions. In Luke 10:26, records the same account of someone asking Jesus, what's this boil down to? And he gave those answers, love God and love people. And yet that sounded hard to that man in Luke 10, to the point where he said, well, which people? Who is my neighbor? Yeah. Loving people can be hard. In Matthew 5, Jesus comes up a mountain. This is when he begins his ministry. He goes up the Sermon on the Mount, just like Moses ascending Sinai. Moses ascended the mountain and sat down and began to teach them of what this really means as the people of God. He explains some of these short commandments like don't murder and don't commit adultery. He explains the intent behind it. We'll look at that in the future here. But in that section in Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose, the intention behind it, loving God, loving others. 1 John 4:19 says that we love God because he first loved us. And the next chapter, 1 John 5:13 says, therefore, the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. I remember hearing that verse explained to me in class when I was in college by one of my Christian professors. He just loved that. He said, remember, the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. They bring shalom and they bring peace. Certainly we can't fulfill them perfectly. That's a misuse of the law. It was never intended for that. Even when they were given on Sinai, the idea wasn't follow this perfectly and you will be saved. They made room for sacrifice. There's a reason there was a Passover lamb. It was so that people could know how they could love their neighbor. Also love God. And I think it is exciting that Exodus and the rest of the Pentateuch, which means five books, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, there's a lot there. And most evangelical Christians skip right over it. Because they say, well, that's just supposed to point me to Jesus. You were pointed to Jesus back when the Passover lamb was slaughtered. And Jesus says, I've come to fulfill the law so that you can walk in this love of self, of neighbor, and of me. And so in Matthew 11, Jesus references the law of Moses He says, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Then he says, all the prophets and the law of Moses look forward to this present time. It is exciting when God decides to teach us how to be his people. And he didn't just do that on Sinai and leave it. He has added the Gentiles, those that are not of Israel, into his kingdom. It is no longer a nation that is the people of God, but it is now the church. And we are called to live out these two commandments, to love God and to love people. And that's why we're starting this mini-series on this. As we think about these commands, I ask each of you to make those commands commitments. Will you love God this new year? And will you love each other? And that list of resolutions that you maybe made, maybe look at them through those two lenses. Are these resolutions to love God and to love people? You can take a lot of resolutions, and they can be that. That whatever you do for the glory of God. And you can take a lot of things and turn them into idols. That when the heart is not right, then the action's not right. I heard one of the greatest reasons for someone for wanting to stay and eat healthy. They said, I want to love my great-grandkids. I thought that was a great reason. I'd never heard that before. I used to think, well, they wanted to feel a little more confident about their self-image, right? Is that loving God or loving people? I'm not saying we shouldn't be healthy, right? Or we shouldn't take care of ourselves. But that person and the reason that they stayed committed to it was because their commitment was based on what God had created them to do, which is to love people. So when they said, I want to love my great-grandkids, I mean, that was one of the, for a guy in his 70s, some of the best shape I've ever seen. Because he wanted to love his grandkids. I think there's a lot of resolutions we can make. But I think, as Jesus said, they all boil down to two things. Are they to love God, and are they to love people? If the answer to that is yes, then we are on the right path as a church of coming together. Those are what I call commitments to be a community of love. I believe that's what God has for us next here at the church. Are we committing to be a community that loves God and that loves each other? Because that's what we've been created to do. And today we are taking communion. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said that he's making a new covenant. In this Exodus chapter 24, God is instituting the Mosaic covenant. And Jesus says, I'm the missing piece in that. And I'm making this now accessible to all people. That those who partake in me may join my people. And so as you take communion today, I really want you to think about your priorities and your commitments this year. As you partake in the body and blood of Christ, you think about, am I loving God? And as you take it along with each other, think, am I loving people? Am I committed to this thing? You're going to be committed to something this year. Your time will go somewhere. Your money will go somewhere. Your affections will go somewhere. And often, you let them go unintentionally to worthless things, to things that enslave us in the end. Today at Faith Baptist, we place those things in the hands of God. We sit on Mount Sinai and say, we're not leaving unless you tell us to go. We are following you in our commitments. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as a church, as we seek to learn what it means to come together as a people of God, help us to hear from your scripture. Help us to stay constant in your presence. Lord, as we take communion, I ask that you would speak to our hearts of how to apply your word in our lives. We thank you for the great love you showed on the cross to bring us to yourself. Help us to walk in that love as a community of people. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read to you here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 25. It says that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." At the end of the day, this is covenant language in the Lord's Supper, as it said right there. And as we commit, make commitments to be a community of love, that is covenant language. Like telling your spouse, "I am committing to love you for the rest of your life." God has made that commitment to us. He is upholding our end, himself, through Jesus Christ. That covenant, both tablets, one was supposed to be a carbon copy receipt to the other. He put both of them in the Ark of the Covenant, saying, "I'm going to uphold your head, your end, through Jesus Christ. Your one job is to remain in Christ. Abide in me and my words, and I will dwell through you." There is power in the blood of Jesus as he upholds his end of the covenant, as he empowers us to live out these commitments of love to him and to one another. So let us go as a church in that power as we take communion.